Oh, not, hi.
Hello. Were we not on at that time?
You're just a little premature. That's all right, though. I'm here
sorry.
To cover for you.
I wasn't looking for the
not
lights.
No problem.
All right, so my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And so we have another fun episode of We the People for you today. We have two guests today, two totally different topics, which is nice. So I'm going to change it up a wee bit. We have the Consul General of Israel, Mr. Shlomi Kaufman, and that ought to be tons of fun. We're going to learn all about that. I know we all know there are, you know, consulates for all these different countries here in the U.S., but what do they do?
Yeah. Who are they and what do they do?
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
So anyway, thought we would learn a little bit about that and what's going on with the 70th birthday of Israel. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Got some good stuff for you on the webpage I did put. It's very long, so I just actually included the link from their Facebook page. But Israel's turning 70, and they have a post from March 15th that gives you 70 years of Israeli achievement. And it's really a nice, nice long timeline. But it isn't just little factoid things, little facts. It's got pictures. So it's really kind of interesting. I think you'd like it. And our sponsor for this hour is
Team Power.
Oh, welcome, Bill.
Team Power is our local John Deere Kubota dealer. If you need a tractor or you need tractor service, go by and see Team Power. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake, just south of Phil's Propeller. And right now they are bloated at the seams with tractors. Go by and make a deal. And if they don't have it in stock, they can definitely get it for you.
Oh, come on, they have it in stock.
I'm sure they do. I drive by there and I see, you know, they can't hardly get the gate shut. There's so many tractors in that yard. So go by and see them. Team Power, phone number 226-9226.
And if you happen to be in Redding or Shasta County today and you want to look at equipment, you can scurry down to the fairgrounds.
Nope. Scurry down to the convention center. They're having home and garden show down there, and we've got a little display down there. If you want to come down and look at some tractors, we got them.
Lovely. Okay. Anything else we forgot? Website, did I say that already? I got like 3 hours of sleep. Sorry, I'm probably going to have to need some help today. You can find all of our information at wethepeopleradio.us. We always have archives up right after the show. We have commercial-free archives dating back to 2010 on every topic under the sun. So if you want to contact us, you have ideas for guests or shows or topics or whatever, get a hold of us. Phone numbers and emails are on there for both Bill and I.
There you go.
Okay. So now on to business here. There's only one word in the bio. I had to look up how you pronounce it. So hopefully I hit that one correctly. But the Consulate General of Israel to the Pacific Northwest out of San Francisco. That's Shlomi Kaufman. Okay, so talk about a work history, I guess. You know, most of us, we go to school and get a job. We might move a couple times, but yeah, we don't move that much. Okay, so he began his appointment as Israel's Consul General to the Pacific Northwest in August of 2017. He most recently served as policy advisor to the deputy foreign ministers based in Jerusalem, Israel. Over the course of his 20-year diplomatic career, he has served as Israel's deputy consul general in New York City, chief of staff to ambassadors in Washington, D.C., deputy ambassador in Thailand, deputy consul general in Shanghai. His past domestic foreign ministry positions included director of North American Economic Affairs, policy advisor to the deputy foreign minister, diplomatic advisor, and director of the International Department in the Parliament and Ministry of National Infrastructure.
That's a mouthful.
I'm like reading this thing. I'm thinking, okay, his resume must just be amazing. And he was in the Northeast Asia sector. So prior to joining the foreign ministry, he worked in the high-tech industry representing an Israeli company, Orbot, in South Korea, as well as a consultant to a leading Israeli company, ECI. So he has been all over the place. He was born in the Soviet Republic of Georgia and moved to Israel, immigrated to Israel at the age of 9. So I guess it would be fair to say he's like been there and done that.
Yeah.
And so they live in San Francisco at the moment. Who knows how long that'll last. And he's been married for 20 years and he has 2 kids.
I only got one tip. Don't buy rent.
rent. Good call. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Irene and Bill. It's great to be on your show. Thank you for initiating this this discussion, this talk, and I appreciate that.
Well, we decided people should know more about A, Israel, from people who actually know, and B, you know, what goes on in these consulates. You know, we don't hear much about that, really. And
only thing that goes on is that's where the CIA hangs out, right? Isn't they hide out in all those consulates?
I guess. and what's his face, Snowden or whoever he is?
He's in the consulate.
He's lurking in the one in
Sweden or something. Yeah,
no, in some itty bitty place. Anyway,
yeah.
So, where do you want to start?
So you asked, you were, they were asking or teasing about the consulate, what the consulate do, et cetera. So, the consulate usually in, Israel has about 8 consulates in the United States. But we have consulates also in other countries, and usually consulate covers certain area, in the vast country and it works, to build bridges, with the, I would say with the state authorities, whether it's the governor's offices, whether it's the local legislators, with local academia, with local businesses, with local Jewish community, as well as other communities. And, we basically serve as the bridge between Israel and the Pacific Northwest, which for us covers Northern California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, Idaho, and Montana. So, it's a very diverse area, very big area, hard to cover everything in one shot, in 1 month. Just the traveling takes a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. But, at least you didn't get stuck with Southern California, bonus.
Well, no, Southern California is covered by my dear colleague down in LA, so...
Sucker.
No, we kind of...
He drew the short straw. You got the good part of the country.
Exactly. Well, he got Hawaii and...
then there's that. So. You got to pay him off if you make him live in Southern California, I guess. You got to live in L.A., but you cover Hawaii, so...
Yeah, exactly,
not a total loss.
Exactly. So this is what we do. So we build, we're basically bridge builders between people here and the people in Israel, and trying to reflect what's really happening on the ground in Israel. What are the realities? What is, as we say, Israel beyond the headlines, Israel, the real, you know, faces, the various faces of Israel, what Israel, is doing in the world, how does Israel contributing to make the world a better place? And,
right.
That's why we're here.
So if I was going to travel to Israel, would I contact your office if I wanted to learn more or find out where to go and where not to go and that sort of thing? Is that kind of what you do?
Well, absolutely. Well, it's part of what we do. We definitely encourage more tourism. By the way, I got to say that last year there was a growth in 20% in the tourism from the United States to Israel. We're looking at about 800,000 Americans who visited Israel. But yes, we will be happy to provide information about where to go, what to do, what are the main points of interest. Plus, Americans don't really need a visa to Israel, so it's an easy one. It's buying a ticket and flying over.
Right.
From
right.
San Francisco, 14 hours, and you're there on the ground.
Oh, is that all?
It's only 14 hours.
Shoot, it's just like Hawaii, but longer.
Dinner and a movie, and you're there.
You get 2 bags of pretzels on that one, if you bring them yourself.
But at least it's a direct flight and not...
Yeah.
And now it's 5 connections.
Yeah, lucky for you. Well, hold on. Before we do that, we have to take a really quick break. I know.
I'm loaded with questions on this deal.
Bill's got a lot of questions. Yeah. I didn't let him read the website or anything, so he's fresh into this. We are visiting with Shlomi Kaufman. He is the Consulate General of Israel to the Pacific Northwest out of San Francisco. And we'll have him on for this entire hour. You can find his information on our website at wethepeopleradio.us.
Boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil.
We're back.
Okay. You are joining We the People again, and we're back with Shlomi Kaufman. All right, so Bill had questions. Sorry,
I cut Bill off at the pass. I think one of the more common things, you know, when Israel comes up is If I want to travel to Israel, is it safe? And, you know, I don't mean any disrespect or anything, but there's a lot going on in that area. Is it really safe to travel to Israel?
It is absolutely safe to travel to Israel. And as I mentioned to you earlier, we have an increase in 20% of the tourism just from the United States.
Hmm.
In last year, 20% just from the United States, we're up to 800,000 from the U.S. All over the world, we're looking at around 3 million people. Israel is a major destination for tourism. Jerusalem and the Dead Sea and other fascinating places and places that carry and tell the story of 4,000 years of history. And we have a pretty good security forces that do everything to ensure safety. And there is no question, and there is no doubt in my mind that it's safe. People are traveling back and forth happily and without any problem. So
good.
You know, sometimes news are sometimes the headlines are, you know, pretty bold, but the realities are in many cases different.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's easy to understand. I mean, I often wonder if people in other countries listen to what's happening in the United States and think that there's some kind of civil war going on over here, but it's not the case.
That's only Monday through Friday when Congress is in session.
Oh, that's true. That's only in Washington, D.C.
It's a localized insurrection.
I can tell you that I traveled to another country recently for vacation, and you know, an employer of mine came to me and said, "Well, there was a travel warning from the State Department to this country, and there were some, you know, terrorist activity, gang activities, etc." And I said, "Okay, but it doesn't mean that people are not traveling." And when I landed there, you don't feel anything. So it's perspectives. Perspectives are very important.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, what's happening in Israel right now? If a person wanted to go over there, you know, most times people go over there, they want to visit the Holy Lands, and that is what else do we have going on in Israel that you might want to point people at?
So, of course, it's we have, as I mentioned earlier, 4,000 years of history, and you know, the whole biblical history that is basically in front of you. To talk about Jerusalem and the holy places in Jerusalem, to talk about places which are outside of Jerusalem, which are, you know, important to Christians, in the Christian world, the Capernaum and the Jordan River. But aside of the tourism and exploration of history is, of course, the innovation scene, all what's going on. I mean, Israel is considered like a second to Silicon Valley. A huge, huge tech investment going on in Israel, and a lot of innovation coming out of Israel. A lot of technologies that we are using today, which are so obvious to all of us, came out of this country, which was established 70 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which started in the desert, and we have innovations which is in technology and software and in social entrepreneurship. So, as I said earlier, we're trying to make the world a better place, and the message is coming out of Jerusalem and of Israel. This tiny country, which is the size of New Jersey, and has about 8.5 million people. So, yes. There are challenges, and you know, there are challenges everywhere, not
sure
only in Israel. And we're definitely trying to work and make things better in technology. And you see, about 300 multinational companies have R&D offices in Israel. This is an enormous number.
Oh, sure.
There's no other country around us that has anything similar to this. We are, in terms of economy, one of the most leading. I mean, one of the 35 countries in the OECD, in the Organization of the Developed Countries. So, you know, there is a lot to see, and the distances are short, so a lot can be achieved and can be seen in 1 week.
So, Israel, you say distances are short. Compare the size of Israel to, say,
Well, he said New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. Okay, so that, yeah, that gives you an idea. You could travel
I'm not
to
sure
border
how many
to
times
border.
You could fit New Jersey into California.
Yeah, a lot.
I'm guessing it's just a few.
Yeah, if you traveled border to border in California, you'd be driving day
like
and night.
12 hours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, I've had a lot of people tell me that travel in Israel is safer and probably more secure than a lot of places in the United States. I think we could take some lessons from you guys.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things is, as a diplomat, you don't really compare things to the country that you're posted in.
No.
But, you don't?
Is that no,
like,
you don't.
Is that like bad form? Or, I mean, they just, you don't notice or you're not allowed to say?
It's not really, you know, it's not right to do.
Not kosher,
yeah,
huh?
Takes, yeah. No, it's not a PC, as you say, but...
I was trying to fit in. Somebody drop kosher and get
it. It takes about an hour, and some places an hour and a half, but other places it may take about an hour to cross Israel from east to west. And north-south is about, it's a little bit longer, 7 hours.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not the size what matters. The intensity, the values, and the energy.
Well, what are you thinking about this embassy move to Jerusalem from the United States? People seem to be pretty, well, if some people are really mad about it, which means it was probably a good idea.
Well, I can tell you that we thought that this is one of the, I mean, this was a great move, and we welcome that, and it's basically historical justice, because this is our capital.
Right.
That has been our capital forever. We prayed for 2,000 years out of the diaspora, and think about it. We are the only people who were basically sent out of its country, and for 2,000 years prayed to go to the same place, to return to Jerusalem. We never changed our prayer to be back in Jerusalem. We always said next year in Jerusalem. And we always looked from the east to the west, but from the west to the east, looking to one place, which is Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
When we say going back to Israel for Jews, we say we will climb up to Mount Zion, and that moving to Israel is climbing up to Jerusalem. So it's a historical move. It's a very important move. It sends the right message to the rest of the world, to the region, that about our belonging to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we need this proof to ourselves, but it's important that it has been taken by the administration and sent the right message.
Well, I think there's so many people out there that, for one reason or another, don't know the history of Israel and don't understand why there's the turmoil there is in that region. But you have a true 2,000 year history of that land. So.
Well, and Jerusalem is a really diverse city. It isn't like it isn't like the people in Israel said, okay, everybody else get out. This is only for us.
Absolutely.
Being nice hasn't really gotten you anywhere.
Yeah. Well, our history, Bill, is in the Holy Land is over 4,000 years history.
Mm.
2,000 are, well, not at least, but 2,000 are in exile. But we always, there was always a Jewish presence in the Holy Land throughout all the 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And since the reestablishment of the State of Israel, and in 67 when we united Jerusalem, there was a freedom of worship to all the religions, to the Christians and to the Muslims and to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, in our Declaration of Independence, this is one of the main messages. That Israel will be open and will be tolerant and will allow freedom of worship.
And that is really almost a unique position for your country to have you know, such a
especially when you're surrounded
presence.
By a lot of people that are.
I mean, we have freedom of religion here,
fans.
But to have that,
yeah, almost, to literally share a whole city
to share
evenly,
it. Yeah, yeah, that's.
Well, to share it is one thing, but also we don't have, as the United States, because of different reasons, we don't have a separation between the religion, the Jewish religion, and the state.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we allow this freedom. It's one of the pillars. So we have different, when you travel in Israel, you see the diversity. You see Christian, you see Arabs who are Christians and Arabs who are Muslims. You see Jews who go to very Orthodox Jews, but also secular Jews. You see, of course, Christians who are living in Israel. You see Armenians. You see the Greek Orthodox. You see the Druze community, which is more and more Middle Eastern. They have their own religion. We have this freedom. There is no other place around us that allows or would allow such a freedom of worship. Like Israel. And this is because of our tolerance and acceptance of the other.
Right, right. No, and I think that's quite unique.
I think if you were going to get a religious studies degree, you should go to Israel. You can hit everybody in one fell swoop. We have to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we will return here with our guest, Shlomi Kaufman. He is in San Francisco, actually. Well, I don't know if you're actually there right this minute. But he is currently Israel's consul general to the Pacific Northwest.
We'll
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
So you can find all this information on our website at wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
Nothing like a little Norman Greenbaum in the morning with my
coffee.
Can't
have too much Norman Greenbaum.
Yeah.
His one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He was really on a roll. He just never got it rolling.
Couldn't
get past Spirit in the Sky. So what are some things, Shlomi, that we would not know that as a diplomat that you get to do or have to do and that the public maybe doesn't see that isn't secret, that we don't have to get killed after we learn it? Because we don't want to know.
No, there is nothing. There is nothing to the public. I mean, you know, we are here, as I said, we are here to build bridges and to talk to people and to reach out and to be the connectors. So there is the consuls usually they're very open public figures. So this is who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I met you, I mean, we had fun. You're super friendly, I thought.
Absolutely.
This would be great fun on the radio. Well, so how is it for the family? They have to kind of like to move. They get a really multicultural view of the world, especially on your, your route.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife has been traveling with me for the past 20 years.
Wow, good for her.
And she's been enjoying that. So,
do they get to go?
No, you got to have a partner that's really into this. Otherwise, it's starting to be pretty tough. It's not.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be a lot of what? You've got to go again. And a lot of packing. Do you?
Absolutely.
Like, my dad traveled a lot when we were kids. He worked for Travelers Insurance, and when they named it Travelers, they meant that. But we got to every now and then go with my dad to, like a convention or things like that. Are you allowed to take your family? Like if you go to Alaska or someplace, kind of fun, do you get to take them?
Yeah, we can combine the two. I mean, mostly it's not, it's not happening just because the kids are in school and so on, but,
True.
Here now and then, I mean, my kids are, in elementary school yet, so they have stuff to learn yet.
Yeah, and they have all that soccer or whatever all else they
have. Yeah, the weekends are usually busy because, you know, either baseball or soccer or something else.
Oh, yeah.
Do they do that as much in Israel? Are kids, like, booked 24 hours a day in Israel like they are here? I know you're not supposed to compare, but just, you know, kind of...
No, well,
off the record.
Off the record, sure. it's a little bit different here in Israel because here basically kids have 2 days off, and which is Saturday and Sunday. But in Israel, they study on Friday, and they have only 1 day off.
Hmm.
The weekend and usually because the on Saturday most businesses are not working, so kids are, you know, this is a time to devote for the family.
Right. So education in Israel, I have a feeling that education is probably a little more important there than in most places. We traveled to New York. One trip we took, and
Bill's first trip to New York, and we rode the subway.
one of my observations, and I'll never forget this, was you look around, and all the kids would have like a Game Boy, or they'd have their headphones in, listening to music, or playing some game or something, but. I noticed all the Jewish kids all were reading a book and studying, and I thought, wow, what a difference, you know? I mean, and it wasn't just like in one place. I saw this everywhere.
I told him, I said, I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. It is a different culture, different priority, and very cool. I mean, unfortunately, we'd like you guys to maybe make that as some kind of like a vaccine, maybe. get it into some kind of a delivery system we could use.
I got to tell you that kids are addicted to technology in Israel as much as they are addicted to technology in other places.
Uh-huh.
But yes, education is a very vital part of the Jewish and Israeli culture.
Do the kids learn their history? I know in this country, we've really put history kind of on the back burner. In a lot of cases, we're kind of rewriting our own history.
The whole 200 years of it.
Yeah, the whole 200 years.
Let's just point out, it's a whole 200 years.
That's a lot to learn. But in Israel, do the kids, do they focus on their own history a lot there?
Well, first of all, we have, we study the Bible, or what is called the Old Testament, from pretty much fourth and fifth grade all the way until we graduate from high school.
Yeah.
And the idea is not so much about, you know, teaching you the religion, but to tell you the story, the biblical story of the Jewish people.
Right.
From the very beginning. To have this ingredient, to have this, to understand where we're coming from, why we're here. So, plus, the issue of history in our culture is a fundamental component, because we cannot, as a small people, as people who were persecuted, last week we commemorated the 6 million Jews in the Holocaust.
I saw that.
And we cannot, I mean, we have to remember where we came from.
Yes.
We have to remember, because to continue to exist and flourish where we are, the appreciation and understanding of the history is crucial. Because if you don't have, as we say, if you don't have an appreciation of the history, you don't understand the present, and it cannot look into the future. And learning about the modern history, how Israel was reestablished, what happened to the, you know, what happened during the Holocaust, the issue of anti-Semitism. This is all is being taught in schools, some of it in earlier stage, some of it in later stage, but yes, absolutely. We are born with that. So,
well,
we have a very st- strong sense of history.
And
I think the thing I learned as a kid growing up in Connecticut, and this was, you know, I told you this when we were chatting that day, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny to think as a little kid, we'd have sleepover parties, you know, so here would be a bunch of little, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old girls, you know, in sleeping bags in somebody's basement, you know, we'd all be there in the, you know, dark at night talking. And what were we talking about? Well, half the kids where we grew up, you were either Catholic or Jewish. It was really easy. There were no other religions. So it was always, well, we don't get it. What nationality are you? And all of our Jewish friends would say, well, I'm Jewish. And we're like, no, that's like the place, but
that's your
religion. But you know, what nationality are you? And they'd say, well, we were Jewish. We had the hardest time as kids wrapping our mind around that. But as I've gotten older, you start to realize, like, I don't know if you know this, but the kids, in order to be bar mitzvahed and bat mitzvahed, they go to Hebrew school. And so they literally learn their language. And they, you know, I mean, it's not like here. It's not like us where we just...
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's
funny.
But
I mean, it is done in the U.S. if kids follow that. Do you find, Shlomi, is it mostly an East Coast thing? Because I don't really see much of the Hebrew school and all that on the West Coast.
No, there are Hebrew schools. There are Jewish day schools on the West Coast.
Maybe just bigger cities or something.
Yeah, like it's made in San Francisco and L.A. area, I guess in San Diego, too.
Sure.
I got to say that I'm not sure about Seattle. But there are several. I mean, there is a very big and flourishing and supportive community in the Bay Area and in Los Angeles. In the Bay Area, you have several. I mean, in the city, there is one Jewish day school, one high school. There is one East Bay. But down in the Silicon Valley area, you know, San Jose and Los Gatos, and there are several schools here because there is a very strong Jewish and Israeli community here. There are about close to 40,000 Israelis living just in the Silicon Valley
in
the Bay Area.
Wow.
And they are, you know, all these guys who are coming to work in the high-tech companies, who are coming, you know, to the innovators and founders of companies who are trying to raise, to look for investment and to look for collaborations in the technological world. This is what they're doing. And this is why we have such a flourishing community. And, of course, we have a big community down in Los Angeles.
Interesting. So, do you ever cross paths with people since that was your previous career? I don't know how long ago that was, but do you ever run into people you used to work in that industry with, or...?
Well, I run into people, I see people all the time because I'm all the time coming down to the Valley. I just, you know, now I'm the Silicon Valley Federation where they celebrate today the 70th anniversary for the State of Israel. And they kicked it off with a panel between two, important people, Israelis who are living here and who's been, you know, the bridge and the visionaries between the Valley and Israel. And one of them is a guy who's invested in very big companies, and very successful ones. So, there is a lot all the time.
That's kind of neat. Turned out to be a good, I'm sure they placed you there for a reason, but that's a really good fit for you.
Yeah.
Let's take our friendliest guy and let's put him in Silicon Valley where he speaks the lingo of the people who work there. It's good planning on your government's part. Yeah, smart.
Yeah,
all around smart guys. We have to take one more quick break and then we'll come right back. And I'm sure there are things that we've digressed on, huh? You can bring us back in line. We'll have 15 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
If everybody's right, if everybody's wrong, young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound?
Bye.
we're back. Yeah, Bill's got a question.
Hey, one of the hot topics in our country right now is our border wall and whether or not we should build it or not build it. And I would like to think we're going to build it. But I understand there's a section of the Israeli border that has a wall. How effective is that?
Big deep breath.
What?
There was like big deep breath. It's like, well.
No, it's all right.
Are we allowed to talk about that? Is that out of bounds?
Most of what it was called or what was presented as a wall is actually not a wall, but a fence. And there are certain parts along this fence which are, you know, certain, like a wall. And it tends to be effective. It tends to be effective in preventing terrorists crossing from the West Bank, into Israel. But, this is why it was built. It was built to prevent and stop terrorists crossing in different points that we couldn't control. Because we had, there were periods that were basically had people crossing, people on our side waiting for them, helping, and then we started to count, we were counting bodies. It turned to be effective. But, it's again, we're doing a lot of things that in our area we have to do in order to preserve people's life.
Oh, sure. No, I understand.
You guys are really clever with how you do your security. I mean, you're not a one-size-fits-all. You employ a lot of different techniques that are actually super effective.
And they're effective and they work. And that's, I think, why you're as safe as you are in Israel is because of the security measures. We have... at naturally a similar problem on our southern border, a lot of drug cartels coming across in different places. And naturally we have, illegal immigrants coming across, and I don't blame them a bit. They're coming from a horrible place and want to make a better life.
That's not what you said yesterday. Oh, sorry.
Don't put words in my mouth. But there's a huge controversy here as to how to secure the border. And stop a lot of this. I think they said in March there was like 50,000 people arrested. And they figured if they arrested 50,000, there were probably another 50 that got through. That's a lot of people crossing illegally over your border.
If 100,000 people came across the border of Israel, you guys would be overrun.
Yeah,
that would look like the running of the bulls. It's just that'd be crazy. I know that your security folks in Israel work with our Homeland Security, and because we've interviewed some of them before, and I know we share technology and techniques and ideas back and forth between our two countries. Do you ever have to do any of that stuff, or is yours? Are you really just Minister of Friendliness?
I was the executive minister of friendliness. No, I didn't have a chance to be part of this home security cooperation. So look, I know that we have very good relations between our I would say, generally speaking, between all our official departments and their counterparts in the United States. So we have a great cooperation between the two departments of agriculture, and we have great cooperation between the Commerce and the Homeland Security and the State Department. I mean, the United States is Israel's best ally, and Israel is the best ally to the United States. So we work intimately on so many levels that, you know, we can talk about each and one of them for probably another hour.
Sure.
Do you work with the other, I'm assuming, I've never looked, I know there's a Chinese consulate in San Francisco because I know somebody who had to go there, but are there a whole bunch of them, and are you guys in the same neighborhood, or are you spread around the city,
no,
and do you
no,
do things together?
Each one of us is probably, you know, is finding the property in its own place. I mean, we are based in one of the high-rise buildings, which are not too many of them in San Francisco, but...
And you have a fairly large staff too.
Well, it's not a big consulate, but we're trying to be as effective as possible. This is the key. It's not about size; it's about effectiveness.
Sure.
But by the way, you asked, we spoke about cooperation, different homeland security, but we have a very good Israel is also known for its agriculture and agrotechnology. And we have a lot of things going on between California and Israel in this field too. So that's, another field which is important, and especially in the area that you're more in the inner valley, it's something which is important to the industry here as well as to the industry in Israel.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, you do a lot of things. I was culling through your website last night looking for, things to post and information. And there's quite a bit of just educational stuff on there. News, events, speakers bureau, which is kind of great. So if somebody was having an event and they wanted to learn more, there's a speakers bureau. Lots of things, returning residents. You guys, there are translators. I thought all these things that we don't particularly think about. How long do you work in a job like this in one location? Is there a specific time?
Usually it's limited to 4 years. It can be extended maximum to 5, but then after 5 we go back. The the reasoning for that is basically that. One is to get connected back to where you're coming from. The second is to allow other people to go out and serve. And three, also to refresh yourself. It takes, these jobs require a lot of energy, a lot of time. It's in many cases around the clock. We're having this interview now, but I gave a speech just about half hour before the interview, and I'm about to give another speech in about 10 minutes from now. So,
so the Minister of Friendliness gig is very busy.
And I had to work on these speeches just this morning because yesterday I had to spend some time with my kids. So that's the way it works.
So it isn't a particularly relaxing thing. So when you're in the off assignment time, like after, say, it's 4 years and then they pull you back, is there a time period that you're off and then you get reassigned to another place?
Yeah, but it depends very much on my decision, on one's decision to apply for an overseas post.
Oh, okay. So once you're in the system, you're not doing that forever necessarily.
No, it's not that they force you to go out on an assignment.
I think once you get all trained, they might want to keep you.
There is an expectation to go, back and forth, but the intervals in which you spend time back in Israel, the headquarters are not limited. The personal circumstances are not working in favor of living, so one can stay in Israel.
Right.
We don't kick people out. So.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. Yeah, it was pretty interesting because I was looking here that you guys and you would kind of explain this. You coordinate relationships between the State of Israel and then our U.S. national state. Local organizations, businesses, offices of public officials, and citizens within the U.S. Mm-hmm. Pacific Northwest. So you pretty much have everybody You know, well, I mean, I kind of laugh. Our congressional district here is 11 counties, and it feels really big. And then I read your list. I'm like, man, it's not really that,
not really that big.
It's not such a big deal.
Yeah. No, it is a big area. And by the way, my case is a better case because I have some colleague. I have at least one colleague who covers 9 states. So.
Oh. That's a tricky deal. Well, and you just got here. You started this, I'm not looking at that page, but what, September of last year?
Yeah, August.
Nice. So you're here for a while. So as things happen, as the world becomes, I'm sure, more interesting rather than less, if you have things
Play
that...
Place.
Yes, if you have things that you'd like to share, we'd love to have you come back on since we know where you are now. And
so
approximately how long
so
you'll be there.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And, well, I hope you get a little time maybe later today to hang out, do nothing.
Yeah, in an hour.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is your speech right at 1? You have a minute and a half you're to get there. So
it's what?
I feel the pressure. I'm feeling the pressure. If your speech is at 1, well,
no, it's. As long as I'm not calling him, okay.
Okay, all right. So it's not so bad. Yeah. Well,
very good.
No, but it was great to be on the show with you, and it's a great opportunity to send the message out and to tell what we're doing.
Absolutely, and if people are thinking of traveling, I mean, this I had no idea. I haven't been to somebody's consulate website, and I thought, geez, there's a ton of information there.
So we'll be happy to see you not only visiting our website but also following our Twitter, but more than that, coming to visit Israel.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for being with us, and we will get we'll get together again.
And
we'll
have an opportunity to do that, we're calling you before we go. We're going to learn all sorts of good stuff.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Shlomi.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day, and thank your family for the time they gave up for us. Much appreciated. We will be back next hour. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.